Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
All right, everybody, welcome. Welcome, one and all, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'd like to welcome you and say what you're going to hear about tonight is launching ADHD College Kids Completely Different. And with us in our virtual studio is Caroline McGuire. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, July the 27th, in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. One of our big supporters and sponsors is CHAD, which is Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And since this show is being brought to you by them, we want to play a real quick tip that they're offering up. So let's roll the tape.
Did you know that more than 3,000 people died in distracted driving accidents last year? As a driver with ADHD, you're at higher risk for distracted driving and car accidents, particularly during long distance and highway driving. Here are some tips. Keep your cell phone turned off or out of reach. Limit the number of passengers. Use music or a book on tape to help you focus. Receive proper treatment. For more information, visit the CHAD website, chad.org, or helpforadhd.org. That's chadd.org, or HELP, the number 4, ADHD.org.
Again, we'd like to thank CHAD personally for their support of our show. They are the largest non-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. If you are not a member, you should be. There's certainly a lot of member benefits, but most importantly, by supporting that organization, they speak on your behalf with one voice. They do a lot of lobbying on Capitol Hill. We've done a lot of shows about how they've intervened when there's ADHD medication shortages, which oddly enough is not an insurance company or pharmacy issue. It's a FDA and a DEA issue. So again, check them out at chad.org. Also, if you have the time, you've got the means, I encourage you to check out their annual conference this year. It's in November 10th to the 12th in Costa Mesa, California. I know I've been going to it since 1908, since it was in Cleveland. You can certainly get some great information on our show and other things on the internet, but there's nothing like connecting with your tribe. So let's move forward. Tonight we're talking about launching ADHD College Kids Completely Different. And with us tonight is my guest host, today co-host, Caroline McGuire. Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Good to hear from you. I love the CHAD conference. I hope everybody goes.
Absolutely. Everybody, real quickly, Caroline is a certified personal coach for children with ADHD and their families. She's got a revolutionary coach program teaching executive functioning skills to children, teenagers, and young adults. She's a speaker at many venues worldwide and used to work at the Hollowell Center in Sudbury, Massachusetts. She founded and can be found on her website at anycoaching.com. So go check that to learn a little bit more about her. And to Caroline, to get into the meat of the show, tonight I really wanted to kind of emphasize, because this show is so much about paying attention to attention. And I have a personal saying, if the obvious solution isn't working, then you're paying attention to the wrong thing. And I think often you go out and you're looking for helps and you're looking for some tips, and people are reading you kind of like the prescription that in the perfect world, it really works really good, but I'm not so sure it really does. And launching your teen off into college is one of those areas that I wanted to speak to tonight. And I want everybody to know tonight's show is not about us being right or wrong. It's really about getting you to think a little bit differently and kind of open your mind a little bit. So with that, Caroline, are you game for this?
I'm totally game for this. I think it's it's something that a lot of parents struggle with, and I think it's really something worth talking about.
Well, the fact of the matter is, to go into college, executive function is all about the execution, and to be successful, you need to have the abilities and you need to have the skills to manage executive functioning. And we talk so often with some of the experts that those with ADHD developmentally sometimes are 25 to 30% behind brain development. So if you've got an 18-year-old going into college physically, you would seem to argue that the person might actually have the decision-making capacity or executive function of a 15-year-old. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, Dr. Tom Brown has actually studied this as well as other researchers. And what they found is that the prefrontal cortex for ADHD folks, and they use PET scans and they've done studies, and they show that that part of the brain for some people develops more slowly with ADHD. And that's where all of the executive function management pieces come from. So, you know, it's tough because there's no one size fits all. Some young people with ADHD are very mature in some ways and then immature in other ways. And as a parent, it's really difficult, I think, to figure that out. And when I'm working with young people, you know, there's just this maturity really comes into play, because I always say it's not age, it's stage. So it's like, what stage of development are they functioning at? Are they operating like a 15-year-old, or are they operating like the 19-year-old chronological age that they might be?
Yeah. I love what you just said. I'm going to kind of tip our card because we're laying the foundation here a little bit. We're going to go to commercial break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to really talk about how to maybe launch them completely differently. And you said age versus stage. And when you said that, because I know where we're going with this, Caroline, is if they're the stage that they're in, if they're 15 years old, that's, you know, you're pretty much into puberty, and pretty much you're any teen that's in that age is you, as a parent, you're pretty much wrong if you say it. Maybe if somebody else says it, you're right, but you've got somebody who's actually maybe defiant. And sometimes I wonder if it's best to kind of go the opposite direction to motivate them to go in the direction you want to go. I think you know where we're going, but do you want to comment on that for a second?
Sort of the reverse psychology approach. You know, one of the things I use a lot is humor. And, you know, everybody has to use their own style, but when I'm working with young people, you know, you can't say to them, look, you may be 19, but you're not functioning like a 19-year-old. They don't take it well. And sometimes they have these plans, and the plans sound just ridiculous. But they've been told so often the plan is ridiculous that they really don't listen, you know. And one of the things I use is humor. I don't know if you want me to keep going, Jeff.
I want you to hold off because I want to get into some of this stuff when we come back at break.
Okay.
I think the focus here is when you go out there and you're launching your teens into college, there's a lot of discussion about executive functioning and how you need to let go and you need to empower your teen and all that stuff. And as I described, if that was easy or if they could have do it, they would have already done it by the time they reached the point in time where it's kind of go to college, which is an issue. But that's a component. The other component is we interviewed Teresa Maitland some time ago, and I believe at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and everybody, we might need to go back and look at that show if I'm not confusing myself, but there was a research study that was done, and it turns out that of all the kids, now this is not just ADD, this is all like dyslexia, learning disability, probably know like autism and stuff. For the everybody who was on an IEP plan in high school or Section 504, when they went to college, only percent of that population took advantage of disability services when they went to college. What do you think of that?
I mean, it makes sense. There's another landmark study, and I think it says, you know, 28% of young people with learning disability, ADHD, executive function deficits leave college. It makes sense from the standpoint that, you know, college is different than high school. People don't help you out and say, you know, do you know what the consequences are? You know, they don't call you and say, where were you today? You know, if you skip school in high school, they call your mom. If you skip class in college, you skipped class. That's it. So I think one of the factors here is that there's a lot of self-management. So it does make sense to me, because there's also another component, which is self-awareness, which is connected to executive function. Well, if your executive functions aren't where they need to be, What I find and what the evidence shows is that the self-awareness piece, the awareness of, the consequences of your actions, learning from past experiences, all the things that you need to thrive and have self-management, they're not there, and they're not developed yet. So it actually really makes sense that you wouldn't be self-aware enough to go take advantage of disability services.
So I want to see if I can just kind of synthesize that a little bit. On one side, you have a self-regulation problem and a self-awareness problem to begin with this crowd. And the obvious solution is you need to work with these kids to develop their executive functioning skills as if you could teach it to them. And all of a sudden in a month and a half, they're going to get it when they've been working on their most of their adolescent life. So that's one side. The other side is this notion that they're not very self-aware. Clearly, they don't want help. They don't value help. We interviewed Dr. Ari Tuchman one time a couple of years ago, and he had a profound statement. He says, seeking out help is actually a sign of maturity. And
yeah.
I say that because they're lacking the maturity to go seek out the help when they need it. And so I think his quote or his statement really is profound. Seeking that out shows a level of maturity that these people don't have. So with that being said, I want to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the things that we had talked about how to launch kids into college a little bit differently. Before we go, everybody, to learn more about Caroline, go to NECoaching, that stands for NewEnglandCoaching.com. And by the way, we're real excited. We got a new little commercial surprise here that's being brought to you by Dig Coach. And I'm interested, if you listen to it and you catch it, send me an email at attention@attentiontalkradio.com. Like your feedback on how it works. So we'll roll the tape and we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm here with Caroline McGuire, and we're here today to talk about launching ADHD college kids completely differently. And when I say completely differently, we're going to have fun with this. And the disclaimer is, the purpose of this show is not to be right, but to get you thinking differently, because if the obvious solution isn't working, you're paying attention to the wrong thing. And clearly, these kids with ADHD, if they had executive functioning skills, they wouldn't be having the challenges that they had in high school, much less going off to college. So if it was easy, they would have done it by now. And so often we harp on that, boom, boom, boom. I mean, it's obvious, but it's not working. And the one thing that I learned years ago is that motivation is what you do. Dr. Olivardi has said, you've never done anything in this world that you weren't motivated to do. And so often people talk about motivation is not what you do, but what people like. Motivation is not somebody doing what you want them to do. Motivation is what they actually do. And I think, Caroline, you can comment on this. Some of our thoughts on this is a little bit of a backdoor method. As opposed to addressing executive functioning head on, it's to be a little sarcastic and see if we can kind of create some motivation the opposite way. So you know where we're going with this, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, see, here's the thing. I want to give like a little intro.
Yep.
I think, you know, parents are struggling, right? Because it's so obvious to everyone around the young person that they need help, that they don't have the executive function skills, that waiting and seeing if they can do it themselves, or one of my other favorites is, you know, give me a week and I can turn this around. It's just not working. But you can't force someone, especially if they're over the age of 18, to get help. So one of the things that I want to do when I work with a client this age who's reluctant is bring some light onto sort of like, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. So I have this joke that I started. I had a young client and he was telling me his plan, and it was like a laughable plan. And he was telling me this plan like really seriously, and I was trying to take it serious, but it was so just fraught with flaws. And his plan was in part to be a quote regular person. And I asked him to define for me, like, what a regular person is. And then he was telling me all these, you know, things that were going to happen. Well, the context is he was, like, failing out of high school. So I was worried that he was, you know, just totally disconnected from things. And so I started saying as a joke, you know, that this is great, that I really, really like his parents and that he'll live with them, and that he'll work at the Best Buy or someplace, and I'll see him all the time. And, you know, a teenager's worst fear, this is nothing against people who work at Best Buy, the teenager's worst fear is that they're going to live with their parents forever. Their big dreams are always to get away from us. So he kind of got pale and said, you know, I'm not going to live with my parents. And I said, sure you are. You're not going to graduate from high school, which will be great. And you'll live with your parents, which will be just peachy keen because I really like them. And you'll get to continue to see me because you won't use, you know, any of the helps that you're being offered. And I just kind of went on from there. And it was funny because it was sort of a moment where I had lost my mind a little bit. But honestly, it worked. And he started, instead of sort of telling him how wrong he was, I just was using humor. And he started to sort of say to me, well, like, do you think that this could actually happen? And, you know, what you want to say as an adult is, like, do you think this could actually not happen? And, you know, we started to really have this fun dialogue. And it became like a shortcut discussion between us where, you know, whenever he would tell me some, you know, way that he was not going to get help or not going to do something, I would say, you know, a shortcut little phrase referring to the story. And he would sort of say, okay, Caroline, I get it. I need to go see the chemistry teacher or whatever. And the other thing is that I discovered this worked with other teenagers. So I started, you know, when I knew that humor would work, using humor. And I have an excuse bucket. I literally just took a trash can and I put the word excuse on it. And sometimes when they're going on, I just like wrinkle up a piece of paper and shoot a basket. And I don't even say anything. And they laugh and they say, oh, am I making an excuse? I'm like, I don't know. Do you think you are? So it's not something that can work for everybody. It's not something I would do with every client. Like I'm, you know, certain clients, I feel like they'd burst into tears. It would be terrible. But with certain young people, I think, you know, we can tell, but the basic problem that parents are facing and what this show is really about is they're facing this problem of the kid doesn't recognize they need these executive function skills and that they are not really equipped. And it's like, what do you do? So this is just one idea to sort of not tell.
Yeah, I love what you just said. Kids don't recognize this, and it's not tell. And, you know, we had a conversation about, you know, it's going to be great. Isn't it going to be great when you're living with your parents again? And isn't, you know, what's really going to be cool is when you're driving that stick shift gremlin, because by then it's going to be an antique. And you just kind of go on about some of that stuff. And you say, you know, a real world question. So when you have no money and you can't pay your bills, which are you going to pay off, your water bill or your electric bill? You can only do one. So which is more important to you? And you begin to ask these real world questions to them. You're not telling them they get executive functioning, but you're trying to help them begin to recognize this potentially could be reality. And I like what you said at the beginning is this doesn't work for everybody. And the show is really about launching teams differently, which is really about getting you to brainstorming. But as you go on about some of those realities and you pose those questions, then there's a certain part of that crowd that actually might pause and go, oh, what's going on? Or, as I said earlier, is, you know, that teen, that 15-year-old, he's really 18 with a 15-year-old brain, who's never going to do anything that their parent says, is basically that reverse psychology. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go out and kind of figure that stuff out. So we're trying to create a little bit of motivation to go and some recognition of what's going on so the kid's empowered to go do that. So, again, this is launching it completely different from what most people say, but the idea here is if that's not working, think about a different solution. So with all that said, you want to comment, Caroline?
Yeah, I will. You know, I had I've had, you know, a bunch of clients over the past 12 years, and one of the things that's really happened for me is that, you know, I have parents revisit with me or tell me how things are going. And, you know, I have families I've worked with where I've worked all three kids. And, you know, one of the things I'd also say is this is, again, not for everybody, but taking a step back. You know, it's really scary to remove that scaffolding and that safety net, but it's better to remove that safety net at certain points than it is when the stakes are really, really high. So, you know, I've had clients who refuse to see me anymore, and I'm really sad, and the parents are sad, and maybe we've worked together previously, and we're like, I guess this third kid isn't into it. But if the parents step back a little bit, then, you know, the kid gets to experience those natural consequences. Because if the kid fails out of college, not only is it devastating, but it's devastating to you financially. And it's a really high price to pay. But, you know, if there's a way that you can step back and kind of let that kid experience some of the things they're going to have to handle before they get to college, sometimes it's like better for them because they start to realize, you know, that their self-management is not where it needs to be. And I think as parents, we often end up not doing that. We don't let them experience natural consequences. And, you know, that's another avenue that's really tough to do, but I've seen it work, especially if it's in one area. You know, you're not going to nag them into getting their, you know, equipment for their beloved lacrosse. You're going to let them figure it out.
Yep. And that nag thing, they've actually learned to tune you out. There's an article or actually a presentation I did and an interview that we did years ago. This is like 6 years ago with my mother, who's a retired second grade teacher. And she had an observation that when you are lecturing your kid about something or nagging them, they're actually in control of the conversation, not you. And they've learned to tune you out, and they've learned to push your buttons because you don't necessarily do it. And it's an interesting concept because you do, as a parent, you think that you're the one that's in control because you're lecturing them. But the more you're talking, the more you're signaling to them your willingness to negotiate. And when you think about that, it's all kind of counterintuitive. And the point really here is we want them to realize what's going on. That's this whole counter launching type thing is not to lecture them, but to actually kind of help them get it. And if you're preaching it to them, again, you're lecturing, you turn it out, they're actually in control of the conversation, and then that you're willing to negotiate. Whereas if you said, hey, how about that gremlin? I mean, let's go get some pictures of it. Do you want silver or gray? And you really start to hype that stuff up, then the idea here is you get them to think a little bit differently. So, Caroline, I'd like to get your thoughts on that in a second, but I want to go to commercial break real quick. So, everybody, I'll give her some time to think. But, again, learn more about Caroline at necoaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get five key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're trying to brainstorm about how to launch college kids completely differently from the mainstream advice, how to motivate them by using sarcasm and being kind of counterintuitive. Before the break, I made some comments to the crowd and asked for Caroline's response to them about that notion is when you're lecturing kids that they're in control because you're demonstrating your willingness to negotiate. And Caroline, I want your comments here, but I also wanted to kind of plug the EDGE Foundation because that is an organization that specializes in helping kids to go off to college. And I know as a Boy Scout, High Adventure Scout Master, I remember parents coming in and I could tell the kids what to do and the parents would say the same thing, but just because it was a teenager, it was their parents, they wouldn't listen to them. And the same thing, EDGE Foundation provides this other neutral third party that can kind of help them out, or even Caroline, some of her programs that she does is someone to go. So with that, coming back to that question, Caroline, what are your thoughts about what my statement is that when you're lecturing teens that they're actually the one in control of the conversation?
I think it's really smart, actually, and I think, you know, one of the questions I heard someone ask, and I went to a conference once that I thought was great, was to ask parents, you know, when you nag like that, does it get done? And the thing is, it doesn't, right? Because we've all done it. If you have an ADHD kid, I guarantee you've done it. And, you know, the problem is parents will say to me, well, what else can I do? And, you know, I think that this idea of sort of natural consequences, I think also this idea of, you know, your mother's brilliant, like they're tuning it out and they're really the ones in control. And also, by the way, it ruins our day as a parent, and I don't really know that it ruins their day. I feel like they missed the bus and they're okay. So, you know, I think it actually is a really sage point because it's something that really doesn't change anything.
One of the things about this show too, I want to kind of emphasize in part and parcel with our whole notion of trying to get parents to think outside and kind of launching your kids. And again, we've said this, what we've described to you about it'd be great when you're going to come home and I'll see you at Best Buy or Walmart or something like that. It will work for kids, but it's not going to work for everybody. But the one thing that I know is that launching kids to college is hard. If it was easy, there'd be one book in the self-help section of the bookstore and it'd be a piece of cake. It's not easy. It's there. And as a parent, you got to try different things. But one of the keys here tonight is really about motivation and helping maybe coming at it from the back door to help the child with ADHD or the adolescent kind of realize or help them recognize the need for these things and see if you can get them to be a working partner, which at the end of the day, I think is really what we're all looking for. If that adolescent begins to seek the help, which is not something that they do, as the statistics said and we did at the top, they go get those help and for the executive functioning, and then things can begin to open up. Whereas if we're just lecturing them, they learn to tune us out. They're not here anymore. And I can't tell you how many presentations I've sat through that talks about launching teams and they emphasize the need for executive functioning. But we all knew that before we started. We all knew that back when they got diagnosed in fifth or sixth grade, and we're still struggling with it. So I want to emphasize if this was easy, it would have been solved by now. But as a parent, it's love, it's time and effort and patience that'll get you there. So those are just my editorial comments. I would like to give you an opportunity to share your thoughts, Caroline.
I absolutely think it's true. And I think, you know, I think it's important for parents to look at things through the lens of like, these are the things that aren't going, you know, what needs to happen are these executive functions. This is what I need to understand in terms of maturity. I think it's great to look at things through that lens. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're left with very little control, because you're talking about launching someone into college. They're over 18. You can take out an insurance policy on their you know, college tuition. You can, you know, tell them they have to meet certain standards. But ultimately, the stats show that the kids aren't going for the help. And so it's really hard. And I think, you know, this is just one twist on it. And the other twist is to really form a partnership if you can. And, you know, the more that we are the voice of tell, the less that partnership is possible. Because the partnership might help the young person see what needs to happen. And then the other thing that's a little, you know, out there, I know parents don't love hearing it, is to delay. A lot of times, a bridge year or a couple years before going and spending what is an enormous amount of money nowadays really makes a difference. I've seen it. I've seen it make, I mean, just night and day.
We've actually done a couple shows on gap years. One with Maria Paxson talking about, I believe one of her siblings needed a year to recover of, as she described, recover from the trauma of high school, because it was very traumatic in the struggles and all that it went through to kind of go through that. We also talked to John Wilson, who heads up SOAR and some of their gap year programs and how they do some adventure type stuff and actually teach a lot of life skills, you know, out doing high adventure things, which the kids don't necessarily expect. One of the things that I really want to emphasize as we kind of close the show you said something, Caroline, that kind of brought it up is, as I've learned over the years, if you tell somebody to do something a certain way and that's not their natural way, then that's pressure. And the more you tell them to do it in a way that's not easy for them, they get anxiety, they get to a kind of a fight, flight, or freeze, and their natural thing is to get paralyzed. And I'll share a personal story, and that is mine, is when I was growing up with my dyslexia, I can't tell you all the tutors that would walk in, and this one guy was a minister one time, and he covered up a word, and he would like move one thing, with A-C-C-O-R-D. He was asking me to the words, and he would cover up and say, now read it, and I would say some other word. And he's like, well, how come you're not getting this? You should be able to do that. And he told me, and the pressure that I wasn't getting it just paralyzed. It just shut me down. I clearly can't do it the way you're telling me to do it. And all you're doing is asking me to go back and try harder to repeat that outcome, which takes you – I feel the pressure. And I shut down. I don't even listen to it anymore. It's my way of coping. It's just like I'm not hearing. And I think a lot of times as a parent, you're telling them these ways, and they're not the way – the ADD brain works, and they kind of shut down. And so tonight, again, we don't have to be right in terms of what we describe, but if we get you to do it a different way and pay attention to it differently, then I think we did our job. So with that, Caroline, any other final comments before we wrap this thing up?
No, just, I mean, hang in there, parents. It's really hard. And I think the light bulb comes on. It just doesn't always come on when we want it to. And I do think trying something different is sometimes in order, because it doesn't, you know, the straightforward tell just doesn't always work.
I can see it now. Going out shopping for gremlins. What color do you want? Do you want the blue, the green, or the red? Let's get the stick shift. And you want to get the antique plates when you come out of school, stuff like that. Again, that some of that sarcasm might kind of snap into it. Again, it's not going to work for everybody, but just something fun. So, Caroline, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show and playing with this topic.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Everybody, to learn more about Caroline, go to NE, which stands for NewEnglandCoaching.com. With that, I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. I hope that you're paying attention to things differently and that you do some brainstorming and get a little creative with that. So with that, we hope you enjoyed the show. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.